Kemet Radio.
Pharaohs, the kings of ancient Egypt, their sole purpose to offer Ma'at, divine balance and truth to the gods. The pharaohs established the great empire of Egypt and built many monuments to the gods and their own greatness. Let us meet these great kings who established the two lands and made their great empire endure for millennia. This is Great Pharaohs of Ancient Egypt.
Usul Ma'at Ra Setependra Ramasesu Meriman, meaning strength of Ma'at Ra, chosen of Ra, beloved of Amun. Ra is born, commonly known as Ramesses II or Ramesses the Great, the third king of the 19th dynasty, son of Seti I and grandson of Ramesses I, who was an elderly military commander that was chosen as successor by Horemheb, general of Tutankhamun. Ramesses had the longest reign of all the pharaohs, being 67 years. He in fact outlived several of his sons who were in line to succeed him as the next pharaoh. In his reign he also built a large number of monuments to himself and the gods, including a few interesting syncretisms of Mut, who is consort of Imen or Amun, Mut Bast and Mut Sekhmet as example. These syncretisms of Mut are found in Karnak, modern-day Luxor, that were not seen before nor seen again in other locations. Ramesses was 18 years old when he took the throne of the Two Lands, and immediately chose to dedicate his reign to restoring the empire to what it was established under Thutmose I. Though Ramesses was not in any way directly related to the 18th dynasty ruler, as pharaoh, Ramesses considered himself of direct lineage to the pharaohs who expelled the Hyksos, restoring the Two Lands and expanding the Empire of Egypt. It should also be noted that though it is believed by some, Ramesses II shared a co-regency with his father beginning in year 9 of Seti's reign, the evidence used to support this, inscriptions and reliefs showing Seti with his son Ramesses, were found to have been commissioned by Ramesses after his father's death, possibly to give him a little more clout in his ambitions for military expansion. We do, however, see a victory stele in Kadesh commemorating Seti's triumph in capturing the town from Hittite rule, and depicts both Seti and Ramesses sharing in the glory. From this, we can deduce Ramesses had military experience before being crowned pharaoh. Ramesses first set his sights on Syria, specifically the cities of Amuru and Kadesh. These cities were taken by his father Seti, though he was never able to hold them from the Hittites for long, given the close proximity to the empire. Ramesses began work on founding a new capital city further east in the Delta region in Lower Egypt. He named it Per-Ramesesu-A-Nakhtu, meaning House of Ramesses, Strength of the Arm. He set to work expanding his armies, including building a new division of 5,000 men. He founded as the Division of Setesh, after the desert god of confusion, Seth. For the first 4 years of his reign, Ramesses campaigned along the Levant, the coastal cities of the Mediterranean, taking back the territory once under pharaonic control. Meanwhile, Ramesses built his armies for the campaigns to retake lands now under Hittite control. During the reign of Horemheb, Egypt had two divisions of the army, each 5,000 men. The division of Upper Egypt, named for Imen, or Amun, and stationed in Watset, or Thebes. The Lower Egypt division of Petech, or Ptah, in Memphis. During the reign of Seti I, an additional division formed in Heliopolis and named for Ra, and as mentioned, the division of Setesh stationed in Pi Ramesses. In year 5 of Ramesses' reign, the 9th day of Shemu began the campaign to take the cities of Amuru and Kadesh. All 4 divisions assembled at Pi Ramesses, equaling 20,000 infantry. Though uncounted, Ramesses also amassed hundreds of chariots, with contingents of Nubian archers, Sheridan mercenaries, and the Na'arin, or strong arms of force, of Canaanite mercenaries. Ramesses had his own company of chariots that made up the royal camp, and led the division of Amun. Marching forth on 9th Shemu, Amun and the royal company were followed by Ra, Ptah, and trailed by Setesh, and set out across the Levant. They marched along the Phoenician coast, passing through ports of Tyre and Byblos, where they left inscriptions of their journey. Reaching as far as Simira, the Pharaoh's armies turned inland and attacked the kingdom of Amuru. With the Hittite army too far away to offer support, the ruler of Amuru, Benteshina, sworn loyalty to Ramesses and formed a vassal treaty. By occupying Amuru, Ramesses opened the way for attack on Kadesh, one way from the south through the Beka'ab Valley, and the other from Amuru itself. The Hittite king Mu'attalish responded by assembling a great army to rival Ramesses and began amassing his forces outside Kadesh. Ramesses set out toward Kadesh. Following the road to Gaza, Ramesses split up his forces. Taking the bulk of the army, he took the route through Canaan, then taking the east side of Galilee and through the south end of the Antelebanon range, he entered the Beka'ab Valley to reach Cumadi. Ramesses sent the Na'arin north from Gaza along the coastal road to Phoenicia. The purpose was being to ensure the loyalty of Phoenician vassals with a show of force, so that none of them would attempt anything while Ramesses was campaigning in Kadesh. Ramesses and the division of Amun made their way across the Shabtuna Ford, south of Kadesh. The divisions of Ra, Ptah, and Setesh followed behind at a distance of 1 eter, or 10.5 kilometers. South of Shabtuna village, Tushashu said, Shabtuna is now loyal to Ramesses, and no longer to Mu'attalish, the Hittite king. The Shashu told Ramesses the Hittite army was not in Kadesh, but in Aleppo, north of Tunip, some 120 miles distant. Hearing this, Ramesses crossed the Shabtuna Ford and made camp with Amun northwest of Kadesh, though Ramesses knew not the Hittite forces were camped just behind the city. It was as Amun and Ramesses were camped that a scout of the Egyptian army came upon scouts sent by the Hittite army. Beaten and thrown at the feet of Ramesses, who upon his throne of gold demanded to know what they were. Broken and desperate not to incur the Pharaoh's wrath, they informed him they were spies sent by Mu'attalish to gather intelligence on Egypt's forces. Angered, Ramesses demanded to know where the Hittites were, for he had heard they were in Aleppo. The spies informed the Pharaoh that Mu'attalish was indeed behind Kadesh, and with him his armies, as well as loyal vassals of Naharim and all of Kod. Infuriated, he called the council of his officers and demanded to know why he was told daily that the Hittites were in Aleppo, while in reality they were behind Kadesh all the time. The texts at Karnak allude to the fact that somehow Ramesses' officers failed to send out scouts to confirm the location of the Hittite army. It was then the vizier sent messages to order the divisions of Ra, Ptah, and Setesh to hasten their arrival. It was as Ramesses was meeting with his officers that Mu'attalish sent out a force of chariots to attack. They crossed the Shabtuna River and slammed sidelong into the division of Ra, who was marching northward toward Amun. The force of the Hittite attack, as well as the surprise, caused the chariot arm flanking the infantry of the division of Ra to be swept away. The division of Ra, being totally unprepared for attack, disintegrated, and began fleeing northward toward the division of Amun and Ramesses. The Hittite force continued its attack upon Ra, following the division all the way toward Amun and Ramesses' camp, trampling countless infantry under the wheels of its chariots and picking off the fleeing soldiers one by one. The sight of the division of Ra fleeing from the force of the Hittites' chariots was enough to degenerate the division of Amun into total chaos. Amun's soldiers fleeing in all directions or being killed by Hittite archers. From the official report, "When His Majesty saw him, he was enraged against them, like his father, Mantu, Lord of Waset. He seized the adornments of battle and arrayed himself in his coat of mail. He was like Baal in his hour. Then he betook to himself his horses and led quickly on, being alone by himself." It is highly unlikely that Ramesses was able to crush the enemy forces single-handed. He was probably aided by his officers and elite chariotry. Though despite overwhelming odds, Ramesses and his chariotry were able to turn the tide of battle and quickly pick off the Hittite chariotry with their own lighter, more efficient chariots and superior archers. Muwatallish, watching the battle from across the river, saw that Ramesses was beginning to win the battle and sent a second wave of forces across the river to attack him. They instead went to Ramesses' camp, hoping to either plunder the riches of the pharaoh or possibly to distract Ramesses from battle. It was more likely they wanted spoils. As the Hittite forces were attempting to rob Ramesses' camp, the Na'arin came down from the north and laid upon the Hittites. The Na'arin were later joined by Ramesses, and together they crushed the Hittites, allowing very few to escape back across the river Orontes to Muwatallish. Many of the Hittite second wave that were slain were of high rank and among the Hittite and allied states serving Muwatallish. Ramesses was able to regroup the divisions of Amun and Ra, and messengers were dispatched to send the remaining divisions of Ptah and Setesh post-haste. Then in full view of Muwatallish across the river, Ramesses proceeded to deliver punishment to those who had abandoned him at the battle. Although the punishments were not documented, they probably involved execution by beheading, beatings, and the like. It was believed that the sight of Ramesses delivering such punishments personally to his own men led Muwatallish to call Ramesses for armistice when seeing him rallying his troops for an assault on the Hittites across the river. Ramesses, not knowing whether he would survive a frontal assault on the Hittite forces, agreed and returned home with his army. However, as soon as the pharaoh was back in Pi-Ramesses, Muwatallish laid siege to Amuru, evicted Bentashina, and retook the city. 14 years after Kadesh, hostilities continued. When Muwatallish died, two men disputed the throne. Urhi-Teshub, who usurped the throne and ruled as Mursilis III from his uncle, the legitimate heir Ketesar, Ratusilis III. During the year 18 of Ramesses II's reign, Ketesar was able to take back the throne from his nephew, and Urhi-Teshub fled to Egypt and was probably protected by Ramesses within its borders, despite Ketesar demanding the extradition of his nephew. War seemed imminent. As Ramesses readied his armies for battle, the Assyrians were threatening the Hittite borders. Ketesar was forced to negotiate a peace with Ramesses. It was year 21 of Ramesses II's reign when the treaty was finalized between Ketesar and Ramesses. The treaty itself was written in Akkadian cuneiform, the official diplomatic language of the time. The original was etched on a silver tablet and sent as a gift from Hatti to Egypt. Copies surviving today are the stone cuneiform tablets found in the Hittite capital. The other written in hieroglyphics carved upon temples of Amun in Karnak and the Ramesseum. The only difference between the texts is the beginning preamble, where the Egyptian copies claim it was Ketesar that demanded peace, whereas the Hittite version claim Ramesses dispatched emissaries to Hatti to sue for peace. The treaty consists of 18 articles. The beginning is the formalities of friendship between the kings of Egypt and Hatti, and speaks of the greatness between them. The 1,000 gods and goddesses are evoked to protect the treaty from breakings on either side. The territories of Hatti and Egypt were not laid down in the treaty, but a papyrus enumerates the Phoenician coastal towns under Egypt's control, with the harbor town of Sumer being the northernmost territory boundary of Egypt. Despite the friendly visits of each courts into each other's lands, and the pleasant correspondence between Ramesses II's prime wife Nefertari and Khetsasar's wife Budukhebi, there was 10 years of tension between Ramesses and Khetsasar. Primarily, the problem lied in the pharaoh refusing to abide by the treaty and the releasing of Khetsasar's nephew, Urhiteshub. It has been theorized that this was due to the Hittites' refusal to re-establish the former borders of Egypt and Syria during Thutmose I's rule. There was also the matter of Ramesses' arrogant tone in correspondence to Khetsasar that prolonged tensions. When Khetsasar wrote demanding Ramesses to relinquish Urhiteshub, Ramesses responded in saying there has been no breach in the treaty and reminded him of the brotherhood between them. Ramesses further mentioned to Khetsasar that he had not sent any gifts except one retarded slave. Despite Egypt sending physicians, who were highly demanded in Syria and worldwide, along with a great amount of healing earth, the Babylonians decided to enforce diplomatic relations with Egypt and offered a Babylonian princess to Ramesses for his harem, which he delightfully agreed. Khetsasar, being jealous of the growing admiration between the two kingdoms, cemented their treaty by offering his own daughter for marriage to Ramesses. With the bride came a fine dowry of servants, cattle, and horses. Ramesses was overwhelmed by the gesture and accepted graciously. An Egyptian escort left to meet the princess, and with the promised dowry and lavish gifts, a royal procession was arranged, in which the new wife of Ramesses was anointed with the finest Egyptian oils and renamed Ma-Neferura. The Hittite princess lived at court with the other royal wives, Iset-Nofret and Nefertari, and their daughters, considered princess wives of Ramesses, before joining the harem at Mi-Ur in the Fayum region. Later, in around year 40 of Ramesses' reign, he married a second daughter of Khetsasar, who also furnished a rich dowry for her. Peace between Ramesses II and Khetsasar was enjoyed until the pharaoh's death in 1213 BCE, and the treaty was respected until the fall of the Hittite Empire. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair. As written by the poet Shelley, Ramesses gained his reputation as the builder by greatly expanding the Temple of Karnak with a columned or hypostyle hall, the Ramesseum, which was his mortuary temple at Thebes, and his greatest monumental achievement, the twin temples at Abu Simbel, which began in year 4 of his reign and took 20 years to build. 4 colossal seated statues, 20 meters high, in Ramesses' own image, are at the entrance of the great temple. At the legs of the statues, no higher than his knee, are statues of the royal wife Nefertiri and Mut-Tui, great mother of Ramesses. Also his first 2 sons, Amun-Kher-Khepeshef, Ramesses, and his first 6 daughters, Bintanath, Bakhet-Mut, Nefertari, Merit-Amen, Nebetawi, and Iset-Nofret. Until it was moved to prevent the temple from being submerged by the building of the Aswan Dam, it is believed that on October 21st and February 21st, the morning rays of the sun would penetrate into the inner temple and illuminate the images of the gods carved therein, except Ptah, in his underworld form, who would always remain in darkness. Rameses himself had 8 principal wives who fathered his children, which was said to be about 100 sons and more daughters. The virile pharaoh was considered tall for his time, with red hair, considered an attribute of the god of confusion, Setesh. Rameses also had a strong beak-like nose, giving him falcon-like features, lending to his image of the living Horus. Rameses died at 92 or 93 and was entombed at the Valley of the Kings, KV5, the largest tomb in the Valley of the Kings. It was possibly an 18th dynasty tomb with 3 chambers that Rameses usurped and expanded during his reign. So far, with excavation not yet complete, 121 corridors and chambers have been found, and it is believed there to be at least 150. The tomb is also known to have been the final resting place of a number of his sons, who were probably successors that died before him. With the looting of the tombs at the end of the reign of Rameses XI, the royal priests removed his mummy from his tomb and stashed it at Dela Bakhari above the Jeser Jeseru, the Holy of Holies, Temple of Hatshepsut. I close with an inscription from the Ramesseum, from the Battle of Kadesh, said to be a quote from the great pharaoh himself. I charged all countries while I was alone, my infantry and my chariotry having forsaken me. Not one among them stood to turn about. I swear, as Ra loves me, as my father Item favors me, that as for every matter which his majesty has stated, I did it in Ma'at, in the presence of my infantry and my chariotry.
Great Pharaohs of Ancient Egypt is a production of Kemet Radio. Visit on the web at kemetradio.net. Contact us at kemetradio@jeba.org. That's djeba.org. Kemet Radio is brought to you by Petajeba, Temple to Horus of Bekhnet, and non-profit organization for the reconstruction of ancient Egyptian culture. Visit Petajeba online at jeba.org, djeba.org.